to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
All right, we're ready to go. One, two, one, two, one, two. More, more, more. Or, all right, too much. I mess with those sound room guys. They're the most hated people in the church. I'm just kidding, guys. You do a good job. Just don't fall asleep. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the day at church. I hope you've had a good time around the people of God and enjoyed being in the house of God. If you missed this morning's service, we had an opportunity together to enjoy talking a little bit about the home and some lessons from the first family. How would you like the job of the first man and the first woman? And how would you like to have been under the microscope as Adam and Eve were? You don't think they were going to get away with anything, did you? No, they're not going to get away with anything. Oh, by the way, you're not either. Yeah, God knows where you are. You're not going to get away with anything. Thing about it is they thought, hey, listen, they did the natural thing that most people did when they sinned. Guess what they did? They went and hid. Just like most of us do. We go hide and we try to hide behind this or try to hide behind that, or, you know, we try to filter into our job. Maybe God won't find us there. Now, he'll find you. And be sure your sin will find you out. I want to continue. I talked about the first family this morning out of Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 3, and a little bit out of Genesis chapter 4. I want you to go with me tonight, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. You say, man alive, preacher, boy, that marriage of the first man and the first woman. Oh, by the way, that's what it is, you know. Marriage is one woman and one man. And you say, boy, that was a tough job. Weren't they under the microscope? Yeah, they had a tough job, but how'd you like this job right here? How'd you like being the parents, the earthly parents of God? We're going to learn some things tonight about a home with character. And I believe that's what made the difference here of how that God selected a man and a woman to put Jesus into that family. So take your Bible, Matthew 1. Let's stand together. Begin reading with me in verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Boy, God's already mentioned that twice in three verses. That might be important, that we get a hold of that. Then verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I can't think of a tougher job in the entire Bible than parenting the Son of God. Now let me tell you something. That had to take some special qualities in order for God to hand-select a family to place the Son of God in. And so I want to look at what were the qualities of Joseph. What were the qualities of Mary? What was the atmosphere of their relationship, their home, that so inspired God to take His only begotten Son, God incarnate, God with us, and place Him into that particular family? I think it has something to do with our theme. It has something to do with character. And I want to take a look at that tonight and talk to you about a character, a home with character. Father, bless us. Thank you again for the privilege of being in church. Father, for the short time that we have together tonight, we just simply ask you, Holy Spirit, teach us, we pray, from the Word of God. And we'll certainly be careful to give all the glory and praise to Thee. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You can be seated. Church, imagine for just a moment that you were in the position that Joseph and Mary was in. Imperfect people entrusted to be the earthly parents of a perfect son. Now think, let meditate on, chew on that just for a moment. Imperfect parents selected by God to be the earthly parents of a perfect son. You say, man, love, most parents would like that, right? Perfect children! Children never make a mistake. Children never argue. Children never spill their milk. They never dirty their clothes. They never do any of all this. Because, boy, wouldn't that be great to have a perfect child that was so compliant that he never had to get on to him one time? Now, I know some of you are looking at me. You do know your kids aren't perfect, right? Don't scare me like this, because some of you are looking at me like, you're talking about my boy. You're talking about my kids. You're nuts. Hey, listen, your children are just as depraved as any other kids are. Just because they go to church don't mean that depravity's not with them. Hey, let me say to you, this couple, Joseph and Mary, listen, it wasn't just their earthly son. It was God incarnate. They weren't just parenting their son. They were parenting the Son of God, the Savior of the world. They had been given an assignment that was beyond any comprehension that you can absolutely imagine. And yet God put the Son of God into their family. Now try that one on for size. Think about this, church. I wonder if we could reel back time, if any husband and wife here could be entrusted with the responsibility of raising Jesus. I wonder if there's a family here that God would look down on tonight and be willing to put His Son in your family and trust you to raise Him from childhood to adulthood. I wonder if there's anybody that would qualify for that tonight. I just wonder if there's a home here tonight that would even remotely qualify for the living conditions for Jesus to be in your home. You ever ask yourself a couple of questions? Okay, what if that was you? What if you were Joseph and Mary? Let me ask you this. What would you do for family fun? Jesus has already done everything. What would you do for fun? Where would you go on vacation? He created everything. You do know that, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him and for Him. Hey, listen, where would you go on vacation? What place would you go? He's already been there. Well, where would you go to have family fun? Let me ask you this. If Jesus was raised in your home, would you allow Him to have a cell phone? A Facebook page? Oh, by the way, His own computer with no restrictions? Would you let Him get up when He wanted to, go to bed when He wanted to, watch on TV what He wanted to? You said, oh, preacher, man, you're kind of stretching a little bit, aren't you? Aren't you kind of going over the top there a little bit? Well, let me say this. Even if some people did allow Jesus to do these things, some would say, well, preacher, don't you know He's the Son of God? He would control it. He wouldn't have any problem with it. You say, they're my kids, preacher. It's okay. They can handle it. Well, let me ask you this. It may be okay for your kids and your grandkids, but the more that you expose them to constant temptations, the law of averages just says eventually they're going to succumb. You see, the thing about it is Jesus may can handle it, but your kids and grandkids can't handle it. And most of them, the reason I know that most of them can't handle it, because some of them this morning when I was preaching were playing on their cell phones. You think I didn't see you. That's the reason you can't handle it. And by the way, mamas and daddies, you need to find out if it's your teenager, and if you want to know who it is, come see me. Okay? Because I'm going to give you an opportunity to handle it first before I have to. Now see, what I'm saying is, listen, Jesus may could have handled it, but your kids and grandkids, many of them can't handle a cell phone. They can't handle some things in life. You said, but wait a minute, preacher, they're my kids. I beg to differ with you. Psalm 127 and verse 3, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Yeah, they're a heritage and a gift to you, but they also belong to God. And He gave them to you not to toy with, not to play with. He gave them to you to raise in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that one day they might grow up to be a productive Christian. That's why He put them in your home. So they're not just a heritage and reward to your home. They're a heritage and reward to God. So you know what? That settled that question. They're not your children. They're God's. You say, but preacher, everybody gets to raise their kids the way they want to. Well, let me say something quickly about that. In Matthew chapter 25, remember the story that Jesus told about a king? And the king came to his servants, and he made this statement, Jesus being the king, teaching his disciples, and said to them, he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you visited me. And you know what they said? They said, Lord, when did we do this? When were you hungered and we fed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you drink? When were you sick and we came to you and in prison and we visited you? He said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now listen to me. You think about this, mom and daddies. Before you start allowing your kids to do some things without any restrictions, remember, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You need to keep that in mind, mamas and daddies, because let me tell you something. There was a reason that God hand-selected the home of Joseph and Mary to put the Son of God in that home. Think about this, if you would. Joseph and Mary had to be in complete agreement with one another. Because, listen, the word came to both of them, the Son of God is coming to your home. You're going to raise the Son of God. So they had to be in agreement, because I know they had to be, because according to Mark chapter 3, verse 25, the scripture says, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So if they were divided on the issue and they decided, you know what? This is how we're going to raise Jesus. No, honey, I think we need to raise Him this way. No, honey, I think we need to allow Him to do whatever He wants. Listen to me. Do you understand that Jesus was as much man as He was God and as much God as He was man? Why do you think, listen, if God wanted Him to come and be born a full-grown man, He'd have done it, right? But He put Him in the home of two people to set an example for you and I to follow. Because Jesus was put in a home that had character. The reason the home had character, it was because He had a mom and daddy that had character. You see, Joseph and Mary had to be in complete agreement. Listen to me, mamas and daddies. You better be in agreement on how that home is going to operate and how the kids are going to be disciplined and what the rules are going to be. You better be in agreement. Because I'm telling you, if their house divided, listen to me, it cannot stand. It cannot stand. You say, oh, but wait a minute. We've made it all these years. But listen to me, how about them little ones though? How about the little ones that are adults now? Where are they now? How are they making it right now? You see, Joseph and Mary had to be in complete agreement. Think about this. Neither knew all the details of what they were getting into as parents. They'd never been parents before. So they had no idea what they were getting into. And yet God put the Son of God in their care. Think about this. Joseph and Mary did not choose this life, but rather God chose the life for them based on their character. God chose this life. May I say to you, mamas and daddies, teenagers and young people, God has put your home together and it's the will of God. You say, no, it's not. It is now. It's the will of God for your life right now. And you've got to understand that God has perfectly made your home exactly like you wanted. And you know what He did? He took all the personalities. And boy, look around this room. If there are not some personalities in here, I'm telling you, this church is filled with personality. And God took the personality of a man and a woman and two or three little ones, in some cases four and five and six little ones, and He put them in that home to coexist together. And you know what? God says, you know what? If I'm in the forefront, it can all work. If I'm kept in the forefront, it can all work. You see, church, Joseph and Mary were just ordinary people chosen by God, listen, to do an extraordinary job. And may I say to you that the home, if you're going to have the kind of home that God wants you to have, if you're going to have a biblical home, you know what? It's an extraordinary job that you're called to do. Let me tell you something. The home of 2012, some of you older saints of God will understand this as well. Some of us that are a little bit younger may not understand it, but let me tell you something. The home of 2012 is not like it used to be in 1925 and 1930 and 1940. There's so much that goes on in the home right now that's allowed in the home of 2012. You know what? It'd make people in the 30s and 40s puke what they see going on today. Listen, matter of fact, I'm at the store sometimes, and I'm just 50 years old, and I see kids at the store running around like wild animals, screaming, rolling in the floor, and the parents are doing absolutely nothing. Now, I don't know about you, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I do. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Somebody, But there's so much that's allowed to go on, listen, that was never allowed to go on many times for many of you when you were children. Never allowed. So what type of home did Joseph and Mary have? Well, the Scripture, actually, when you check the Scripture, you know the Scripture never invites us inside their home. Not one time. So the only thing that we have to go on is what we see on the outside, right? All we have to go on in their home, because Miss Martha, we were never invited by the Word of God to ever go inside their home. So all we know about Joseph and Mary and their home is what the Scripture tells us, and it's all external. All we can see is what we see from the outside. And by the way, let me tell you something. You want a good judge about the condition of your home, ask people you go to church with. Hey, I tell you what, better ask your neighbors. They'll give you a pretty good idea about what's going on around the house. Oh, yeah, mamas and daddies, when the kids are at home and you're not there, they'll let you know what's going on. Go ask them. You'd be amazed at what they have to say. See, some of us don't want to go ask our neighbors because we're afraid of the truth. Listen, you need to know the truth. See, that's part of our problem. We hide the truth and we turn our head and think it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. It's just going to multiply, get bigger and bigger and bigger. What kind of home did Joseph and Mary have? So let's take a look at their character for just a moment. Take your Bible, go back if you would to Matthew chapter 1. Let's take a look at the character of Joseph just for a moment. Then we'll look at the character of Mary, and then we'll see what they did together and wrap this thing up. All right? We're talking about a home with character. How did God Almighty choose this couple? why this couple? There's some elements here that I think will be great to understand and great to know about this home and the character that exists in this home. First of all, let's look at the character of Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, listen to this now, here's the first thing. Being a just man. So the first character trait that we see in him, that he was a just man. Now, did you notice it didn't say he was a fair man, it just said he was a just man. That word just just simply means he was a man guided by truth. He was a man led by principle. He was a man that practiced ethics. And the reason I know that, because did you see what he did with Mary to save her the shame? He was a just man. A man that was steeped in truth. A man that was steeped in principle. A man that was an ethical man. I wonder how many men here tonight that's head of your home can say, can say, that's a just man. That's a just man right there. That's a man that's grounded in truth. And by the way, daddies, let me tell you something. The responsibility of educating your children, many times we put it on mama, but that's your responsibility. You say, but I got to work. Well, then bless God, you make sure it happens then. That's your job. You say, there's too much responsibility for the man. Well, sorry, you are one. And you are deemed the one in charge. God places that responsibility on you. Hey, it's our job, husbands, to make sure that we give our wives the opportunity to do what God has designed them to do and gifted them to do. Sometimes, men, we don't make room for our wives' gifts in our marriage. The only thing we make room for is our own dictatorship and our own commands and our own guidance. And our wife is being the life being sucked out of her because the man's not giving his wife room enough to express her gifts that God's given her. And you know what happens is many times the wives are living in poverty in their service for God because of their gifts are not being used and they're not being allowed to use them. I'm just saying that Joseph was a just man. He was guided by truth, a principled man. Can anybody say that you're a principled man tonight? Can anybody say that you're a man that's a just man, a principled man, an ethical man? Let me show you something else about Joseph. We don't know much about what Joseph did for a living other than what we find in Mark chapter number 6. Turn to Mark 6 if you would. Mark chapter 6. I said, first of all, that Joseph was a just man. In Mark chapter 6... Mark chapter 6, the question is asked here, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. That carpenter he's talking about right there, is this not the carpenter? That's the Lord. Now stop just a minute. Let's think about this. You have to understand something about Jewish culture. Jewish culture is the sons, almost without exception, always followed in the footsteps of their dad. Almost without exception. And so we don't know everything about Joseph. Matter of fact, many believe that somewhere during the time of Jesus' lifetime, Joseph either died, something happened to him, because you never hear from him again. But obviously, he must have had something to do with carpentry. Now, let me tell you what he was. He was not only a just man, you listen to me, he was a working man. He was a working man. Listen, I tell you one thing, folks. I had to get a lot of stuff off my chest this morning. I might as well get this off while I'm at it. I wouldn't give you two bits for a lazy individual. I wouldn't give you two bits for a lazy man that wouldn't take care of his own family, that will let the lights get cut off, the rent go to pot, and everything else get shut down, all because he won't go out and get a stinking job. Amen. Hey, the scripture teaches, you know what? You're worse than an infidel. There's even lost people that care about their family. He said, man, if you don't work, you ought not to eat. And that's hard for us today. But listen, because you know what? Today, we want to give handouts to everybody. And listen, what we're doing is we're promoting them not to work. Let me tell you something. If you're physically able and you have the ability to work, you ought to work and take care of your family. Sorry individual of a man that makes his wife go out and work while he sits home as a stay-home dad. It's terrible. That, by the way, that's not the biblical design either. He was a working man. And it says that Jesus was a carpenter, so obviously, and by the way, I'm not a carpenter. I have done a little bit. That's hard work, my friend. Carpentry is hard work. So obviously, not only was Joseph a working man, he was a hard working man. By the way, you know what he did, daddies? He taught his son a trade. He said, oh, he was a son of God. He had learned it anyway. Yeah, but he took on the responsibilities of his earthly father and taught him anyway, because he felt the responsibility of God to do so. So Jesus learned carpentry work. So Joseph was a working man. He was a just man. Go to Luke chapter 2. Go to Luke chapter 2. While we're stepping on toes of daddies, that's all right, ladies. We'll get to you in just a minute, okay? Might as well just, guys, that's all right. Guys, step on our toes a little bit. We're okay. We'll squeal a little bit, but it'll be over. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days, verse 1, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, or when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Listen to this. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. I said he was a just man. I said he's a working man. Listen now, he was an honest man. He was an honest man. Now you listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. When it came tax time to pay his taxes, he paid his taxes. He said, I don't believe in taxes. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. The Lord said, hey, it's set up by the government officials, and as long as it's not sin, you're to follow it. And you're to obey it. Hey, listen, he went up and filed his taxes. And by the way, you know when he filed his taxes? On time. He went up and filed them on time. Because there was a decree that went out, and he went up, filed his taxes on time. Listen now, listen. And he didn't try to take tax cuts that weren't his to take. Didn't try to take him. He went up, did the proper thing, wasn't trying to see how much money he could get out of the government. You ain't getting much, I promise you. We got a big-time squeaky wheel, and it ain't getting much oil. Let me tell you something. I tell you that part of the problem with America is we got too many people trying to cheat this country out of money. No wonder we're in the situation that we're in right now, because we got so many stinking lazy people that are just sitting over there trying to live off the stinking government. I understand that, listen, by the way, when various programs in America were started years ago, they were started for a purpose to help people in need, not to live off of it. That's what it was started for. Now, if you need government assistance, you need help, then bless God, get on it, and when you can get off of it, so somebody else can get on it. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but I'm sorry. He was an honest man. He went up, paid his taxes, did the right thing. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, the problem with our homes today is what we're doing, we're stinking cheats. Trying to cheat God, the government, and everybody else out of what we can get for ourselves. No wonder our homes are in the situation that they're in. He was a just man. He was a working man. He was an honest man. Turn back to Matthew 1. I want to say he was an obedient man. He was an obedient man. Now remember when the word came, and Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost, Joseph didn't understand everything that was going on. Since God knew he didn't understand what was going on, because of God, we serve a God of all grace, you know what he did? He knew the depravity of man. And so what he did is he sent an angel to communicate to Joseph exactly what was going on. I love God in such a way that, listen, he's not trying to play hide and seek with anything. Matthew 1, verse 20. But while he thought, Joseph, on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Go to verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, listen now, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He's an obedient man. Hey, listen, he had the attitude, God said it, that settles it, that's it. God told him what to do, Brother Shaddix, and he just did it. Man, isn't that a new concept today? God just says it, why can't we just do it? My goodness, why do we have to argue with God so much? Listen, most of us, if we spend as much time in prayer as we do arguing with God, you'd have an incredible prayer life. He was an obedient man. He accepted that God knew best. He followed God's directions. And by the way, it was obviously that he was open to the voice of God, because he didn't run from it, he followed it. He followed it. And he always observed what God was doing in his life, and he always observed the Passover. You remember that? Remember when Jesus was 12 years old? Where were they heading? They're heading up for the Passover. He was a man that observed the Passover each year. Why? Because he was an obedient man. Can I say, where have all the daddies, where have all the husbands gone today that still have a walk with God? Where have all the daddies and husbands gone today that used to lead their families to church and sit with them in church? Where have all the daddies gone today that used to bring their kids to church and mama to church, then maybe take them home, have a devotion with them? Where have all these people gone? I'll tell you where they've gone. They've gone the way of all flesh, unfortunately. And let me tell you what's gone with them. The home went with them. All I'm saying to you, daddies, Joseph took his job seriously. He took his job seriously. He was a just man, an honest man. He was a working man. He was an obedient man. Let me give you one more. He was a responsible man. Turn to Matthew 2. He was a responsible man. Matthew 2 and verse number 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord. Now this is the story, if you'll remember, here in Matthew chapter 2. Remember, the wise men brought the three gifts and stuff, and after they had left, the Spirit of God had warned them to go home a different way because of Herod's decree. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. You know what he was? He was a responsible man. You say, what kind of man was he, preacher? What kind of, are you talking about, responsible man? Well, first of all, he protected his wife and his son. He followed, listen, if he wasn't an obedient man, he could have stayed there, and guess what would have happened? Terrible things would have happened. But because he was an obedient man, he followed the word of God, and he protected his wife and his son. Now, daddies, let me say something to you. I wouldn't give a plug nickel for a guy that wouldn't protect his family. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for him. Let me tell you something. Many times what we got today is when somebody breaks into the house or thing, the man's the first one out the door, leaves mom and the kids still asleep in bed. It's what kind of society we have. It's about me first. It's all about, listen, old number one, where has our manhood gone? Where has our responsibility gone? Listen, you got more responsibility than just to you. You got a responsibility of a home. Let me tell you something. Somebody breaks into my home after I plug them. So don't break into my house. Okay? But let me tell you something. I'm going to protect my family. I'm going to protect my wife. I'm going to protect my kids. I'm just telling you. So somebody jumps on one of my kids, jumps on my wife, you better hope he's saved. You say, preacher, you ought not to have that. Okay, then what are you going to do? See, that's our problem right there. Our problem is we won't have men to stand up for their own wives. Let me tell you something. I've seen women being ridiculed in public by people and their husband say nothing about it. That's a disgrace that a man won't even stand up for the integrity of his own wife. Amen? You know what Joseph did? He protected his wife and his son. When you go over into verse 19, same chapter, Matthew 2, we're not going to read that, but if you'll remember, when Herod died, you remember he came back, found out that Archelaus was alive, and he detoured. Where'd he go to? Went up to Nazareth. Why? Protecting his family. Protecting his family. You see, he took the lead and took charge of the decisions that need to be made. You know what kind of man that Joseph was? He was a man of character. He was a just man. He was an obedient man. He was an honest man. He was a man of responsibility. He was a man, a working man. Hey, let me say to you, church, no wonder God said, hey, man, this is the kind of guy I'm looking for right here to put my son in that home. That's the kind of man I'm looking for. A man that'll stand up and be a man. That's what I'm looking for. Well, what kind of character did Mama have? Do you know the Bible is pretty plain on what kind of character Mama had that qualified her to be the earthly mother of Jesus? Take your Bible, go to Luke 1. Go to Luke chapter 1. I want to say, first of all, about Mary, this is interesting. So many times we read and read and we read over a lot of things, but I want you to notice this in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. Luke 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now listen to this. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now here's verse 29. Listen to this. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Here's what I want to point out. And cast in her mind. Now listen, that's an interesting phrase, because that phrase means that she revolved in her mind what he had said over and over. She thought about what he said, of what manner of salutation this should be. I want to say, first of all, about the character of Mary. First of all, she was a thinking woman. She was a thinking woman. Several times during the life, I'm talking about the childhood of Jesus and his infancy, many things would happen, and the scripture says she pondered these things in her heart. You know what that word pondered means? She meditated on them. She thought about it. She was a thinking woman. Let me tell you something, mamas. You know what you're going to have to be today in your home? You better be a thinking mama. You better be thinking about things ahead of time. Listen, let me tell you something. The devil's after your kids. While daddy's at work and stuff, he's after your kids. And let me tell you something, mamas. Listen, I don't blame any mama that say, man, my mom's over the top. I'd rather have an over-the-top mom than a mom that didn't even care. Let me tell you something, mamas. There's a heavy responsibility that you carry today. Many times, ladies, many of you have husbands that sometimes they have to go out of town and work out-of-town jobs and things like that. Let me tell you something. You better be a thinking mama. You better be a thinking lady in your home and think about, what if this happens? What am I going to do if this happens? Mary was a thinking woman. She cast in her mind. She revolved over in her mind what this saying meant from Gabriel. Let me tell you something, ladies, you need to think of. First of all, I want you to think about the value that you are to your home. Think about the value that you are to your home. I get so tired of hearing women say, you know what, my husband doesn't think I have any value to our relationship. Well, then you know what? He's not looking real hard. Because I promise you, try you not being there and him trying to make it on his own. Tell him go cook his own scrambled eggs. You see what I'm saying to you, ladies? Listen to me. You have value to your home. And you need to look at that value as an important gift from God. He put you and gave you to that man and gave you to those kids. Think of the value that you are to your home. Mary was a thinking woman. Let me say this. Think of your place in the home. You're a helpmeet. You're a completer. Some of you are a mother. Oh, mamas, my wife and I are 50, almost, my wife's 51, I'll be all 51 in just a few months. Here's the thing, you never stop being a mother. Ever. Never ends. You will always be a mother. And let me say something to you. That's a good thing. Because I promise you, if you ever give your children the idea that you no longer want to be the mother, many times they'll never come to you for counsel again. And you know what they'll do? They'll go to somebody else for counsel who is not their mother, who has no vested interest in their life. And that's where they'll get their counsel from. So mamas, I don't care where the daughters are, where the sons are, let me tell you something, they seem to always make contact with mama. She was a thinking woman. Think about how valuable that you are to your home, ladies. Think about what God put you in that home to be. A helpmeet, a completer. Listen, think about your responsibility to your home. You have a responsibility to your husband. You have a responsibility to your children. If you're a single mom here today, listen to me. God bless your soul, but you have to play two parts. And that's tough. That's tough. My wife and I were out eating the other day, and this young girl was waiting on us, and very kind, very polite and stuff. And my wife, you know, she likes to carry on, so she was carrying on a conversation, and we were talking here and there, found out that she was a single parent. And so we got finished eating and stuff, and I looked at the bill, and I thought, well, I'm going to leave a little bit better tip. So I reached in my wallet and stuff and pulled some money out and put the tip in there. My wife just looked at me. And you know how we do, guys. We get that dumb face. Huh? Huh? What? And I'm like, what? I mean, the going rate's about 18% now, and I gave her about 20%. What? And my wife, so help me, she reached down in her purse. She pulled some more money out, opened the door, and laid it down there and folded it over. I felt bad. So I reached there and took her money out, gave it back to her, and I put some more in there. Stood up for the man's side. Now, well, listen. This was a single mom with kids. She had no man in her home to take care of, protect. And you know something? I'll tell you somebody else I don't give a plug nickel to. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for somebody to go to the restaurant and mistreat a waitress. You have no idea. Listen, there's a reason she's having to wait tables, and it may be because there's no man in the home that'll work. And she has to go and work. And listen, how dare us mistreat somebody just because they may not always hit your coffee cup. Hey, listen, I've had waitresses spill stuff on me. I've had them dump iced tea in my lap. Over all these years, I've had them do everything. But let me tell you something. I never failed. Listen to me. I've never failed to leave a tip. A right tip. Oh, by the way, if you're going to leave a tip and you're going to leave one of these little blue tracks that has my name on it, make sure that you leave the right tip. Amen. I'm saying Mary was a thinking woman. Let me show you what else she was. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. It says that she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. Listen to this. For thou hast found favor with God. Wow. That's something else. Thou hast found favor with God. She was a favored woman. Something had to cause her to get God's attention. You say, oh, I know what it was, preacher. God selected her because she was in the kingly lineage. That's why she got the bid. That's why she got the call from God to be the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus. That's why she called. I don't think so. I don't think it was just the lineage. I think there was some character involved. I think there was something different about this girl. I think there was something different about this woman. I think that God knew that she was going to be a nurturing, a loving mother. And the Bible says she found favor with God. So she was a thinking woman. She was a favored woman. Look in Luke chapter 1 in verse number 34. Remember the angel said, told her, he said, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Verse 31. Now listen to verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Pretty good question, right? You know what that tells me? That tells me she was a moral woman. Tells me that she had morality. Tell me she had some values. Because, listen, she had already put two and two together. And she had already come to the conclusion, wait a minute, how can I have a child? I've never known a man. I don't even have a husband. How am I going to do this? He says, I'll show you what's going to happen. And he began to tell her what and how it was going to come to pass. Listen, I doubt very seriously that Mary filled her mind with junk. I doubt very seriously that she filled her mind with romance novels or soap operas. Do you? I doubt very seriously that she went around gawking at men and portraying herself out to be something that she wasn't. I don't think she did that. I think she was a godly lady. She was a lady of morals. Let me show you what else she was. Look down at verse number 38. Luke 1, 38. And Mary said, after all of this had come to pass, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. He said, whatever God wants, then so be it. You know what that tells me? She was a submissive woman. She was not only submissive to the Lord, listen, but she was submissive to Joseph. Hey, you have to be to ride on the back of a donkey all the way to Egypt, right? Hey, you have to be, and then he takes her all the way down to Egypt, and by the way, takes her down to Egypt, they spend time there, then he said, okay, honey, we can go home now. So he loads her back up and takes her all the way back. Hey, it wasn't like that they had Greyhound bus station locally somewhere. Might have had a few camel stations, but no bus stations. Listen, she went from Judea to Egypt, from Egypt, where she thought she was going back, and then ended up in Nazareth. Man, she moved all over the place. She was a submissive woman. Let me tell you something. A submissive woman to her husband is also a submissive woman to the Lord. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where she ever attempted to undermine her husband one time. I don't ever see her speaking out against him. I don't see her ever criticizing him. I don't ever see her say, listen, don't you understand? I can't go up there to Bethlehem. I'm pregnant. You go pay the taxes. I didn't see her do that. No, you know what? Next thing we know, boom, there she is, Bethlehem. Oh, honey, I think it's time. Oh, man, I'm not finished filling out my 1040 yet. Can't be time yet. Man, I still got to itemize. We got to hurry. I'm just getting y'all prepped. Y'all know this is coming up quick, right? Okay, just want to remind you. I said she was a submissive woman, and then we're not going to turn there. I want to say she was a loving woman. May I remind you that in John chapter 19, as Jesus was on the cross, and he looked at all the jeering crowd, he looked down there and saw one woman that wasn't jeering. He looked down and saw one woman that had stuck by him the whole way. He looked down there, and the Scripture says, and he saw his mother. Oh, mama. Let me tell you something. Nothing supersedes the love of a mother. You listen to me. Mama will love you when nobody else will love you. She'll love you to the very end. That's the reason mamas, God has equipped with such a compassion and such a love. Listen, she never gave up on her son. She was there for him in his darkest hour. And let me tell you something, the cross was his darkest hour. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know who was there with him? Mama was there with him. That's who was there. That's who was there at the foot of the cross. And let me tell you something, mamas, don't ever stop loving your children. I don't care where they are, what they've done, how bad you may think they are, or how out of the will of God they are, you never stop loving your kids. She stuck with her son all the way. You say, but preacher, she knew he was a son of God. No, no, no. Keep in mind, she went through childbearing to bring him into this world. She brought him into this world. She was a loving woman. You see, the difference was that of their home and most of our homes is Joseph and Mary were people of character. So you had two people of character. Guess what they formed? They formed a home of character. They formed a home that God said, now that's the home right there I'm going to allow the Son of God to be born into. That's the kind of home that I'm going to place the Son of God in. Well, let me finish up and say this. Turn, if you would, to Luke 2 for just a moment. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they, Joseph and Mary, brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem, listen now, to present him to who? To the Lord. So you know what mom and dad did? They dedicated their child to the Lord. Now listen, I know this is blowing some of you's mind. You say, wait a minute, he's God. This whole thing is just a formality, isn't it, preacher? No, no, no. You got to understand, Joseph and Mary took their responsibility very seriously. Very seriously. And may I say to you, mamas and daddies, you better take your job of raising your children very seriously. Because your children are a heritage of the Lord. Your children are gifted to you by God Almighty. Listen, Joseph and Mary dedicated their son, their child, to the Lord. Go to verse number 39. Luke 2, verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child, Jesus, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. You see, his mom and dad dedicated him to God. Oh, by the way, this home we're talking about, I'm going to show you. Did you know that Jesus himself approved of the home? Look at it, Luke 2, verse 51. And he, Jesus, by the way, remember the story? They had gone to Jerusalem to observe the Passover feast. They got ready to go, had gone 3 days' journey, realized the Lord wasn't with them. So they went back. You know where they found him? They found him in the synagogue, and they found him in there debating and teaching with the lawyers and with all the smart people of his day, the doctors in the temple. And remember, they went and found him. And you know, by the way, when his mother went and found him, look, I tell you, go up and read that with me. Look, if you would, and at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he, Jesus, said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Now listen, they didn't get offended. They just didn't understand what the saying meant. Now listen, verse 51. And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth, listen now, and was subject unto them. Now let me tell you something, folks. Even Jesus, as a 12-year-old, approved of the home that he was placed in. Now, you say, preacher, how are we going to wrap this thing up? Here's how we're going to wrap it up. I'm going to wrap it up by saying this. Teenagers, young people, don't ever say around me, don't ever say around me that you wish that you were not born into the home you were born in. Don't ever say that around me. Because God, then what you're doing is you're calling God a liar. What you're doing is God, you're saying that God doesn't have enough sense to put you in the right place, so he just threw you into a family. No, God put you into that family for a reason. You say, well, what if it's this or what if it's that? That doesn't have anything to do with it. What has to do with it is whether you take your rightful place in that family. You ever wondered why some people that may be raised in a home that's a drug home, an alcoholic's home, and still turn out right? How does that happen? You know, it wouldn't have happened if they had said, you know what, it's not fair. You ever hear people always say, oh, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. Well, tell me what's not fair. God put you in that home. He may put you in that home for you to make the right choices and lead your entire family to Christ. You see, Jesus was placed in a home by God, selected a man and a woman. You know what that home was? A home of character. And I just want to ask you tonight, Trinity Baptist Church families, does your home have, is it a home of character? Is it a home where Jesus Christ is preeminent? Is it a home that's honest? Is it a home that's responsible? And I just wondered, if God had to select a family out of Trinity Baptist Church, and he came looking for a family for the Son of God to be born into your family, would you qualify? Would you qualify? Joseph and Mary qualified based on their character. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. No question about it. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. I'm a boy.